Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to Talk About with Rez and Andy, live every Monday at 3 p.m. I'm your host, Linda Rez, and I'm here with my co-host and great friend, Janie Andy Anderson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Talk About. I am your host, Linda Rez. I'm here with Janie Andy Anderson. Hey, Janie.
Hey, how are you, Linda?
I'm great. And we have a guest with us today, Justin Peterson. And we're doing a show today on legal marijuana 1 year later. We did this last year. And now we're back again. We're following up with some of our guests, our previous guests. And one of them is Justin Peterson, the owner of Cinder over in the Spokane Valley. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Justin, welcome.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
It's going great. How is it going for you? When we talked to you last, you were having problems opening. They were making stricter guidelines than the state had had already. And you, at the time, your store wasn't even opened. So What's going on this year for you?
Yeah, lots of stuff, actually. It's quite crazy. We finally got opened. Our opening day was October 25th. Of last year, and that was a big deal for us. We weren't exactly first, but we were definitely the first true Spokane Valley location, and I think the second Spokane location to open. So it was a big deal. We were really excited about that. Other than that, we got open. We had a lot of great feedback. It was a tough start, you know, in the sense that how the state's kind of set up on how we can advertise. It was pretty limited, but we did get up and running and had an increase in people coming in significantly since then. And we've really just become a known establishment, which has been honestly more surprising than anything to me.
Now, you know, Justin, we had talked, and of course, people who do not know Spokane, this will probably be relatively insignificant to them. But at that time, you were looking at Sprague and Sullivan, and now you are off of Broadway. And actually, you have a smoking, quote unquote, smoking location.
Yeah, we worked, to be honest, very, very, very hard for this location here. The one in Spokane was a little easier. Spokane didn't impose any other restrictions on their locations compared to what the state required, where Spokane Valley imposed additional restrictions, truthfully, almost doing what they call death by zoning, by forcing us into really the outskirts without all outright banning us. So it's made it pretty... pretty difficult to get a location. Finally, once we got that location, we got in here, and we're right off the highway, which is a big, big, big deal, which I wasn't even truthfully expecting to happen. But we managed to get a great location, and we've had a lot of foot traffic and a lot of car traffic, obviously, off of that.
So it actually worked out for the best.
Yeah. And so what have people's response has been? You are a marijuana salesman, and you have retail experience with Apple, so you're a businessman, and we understand that. But what do people think of you being a marijuana salesman? I mean, your neighbors, your friends, your family.
Yeah, that's a great question. My mom was the most shocked about it when I brought up the idea to her, because she did grow up, you know, in the 60s, and she experimented with all the different types of drugs, and but she, you know, obviously times have changed since then, and people are definitely more conservative to the idea, and so when she thought about it, she was more worried about the legal repercussions and what other people would think more than anything. And that was her biggest concern. Not that, you know, oh, you're a bad person, why would you do this, but more about what about how I hope you're gonna be okay, like a motherly thing. My dad was just like, that's a great idea, that's a great business idea. He's a business guy, so he gets that. I was more excited, you know, more than anything to hopefully change the way people view marijuana. And that's what I was really excited for, because you know, seeing people and telling people even now still feels weird to say, what do you do for a living? Oh, I sell marijuana.
You know, and they're probably all very envious, really.
Yeah,
Justin.
It's weird though. People at first, I have to explain, I sell recreational marijuana, and you know, here in Washington and most of the close to the border, Idaho people are, understand what that means. But other people are like, what is that? What is that? A dealer, you know? And I have to explain a little more. And then right when I explain it, they're just like, oh, and they ask a million questions. And to be completely honest, which I honestly surprised more than anything, I haven't had any negative things like, oh, that's, and then they stop talking to me. It's nothing, it's just been questions and, oh, that's great, that's awesome. And I think, you know, I think deep down inside, whether you partake or you don't, I think most people agree that it should at least be, the option should be there to either partake or not.
Well, see, I grew up in the era of as your mom, and Linda and I have talked about this. Although I'm not a user per se, it's legal. And I have always thought, boy, I think in some ways liquor is as bad, if not worse. Again, it's responsible usage.
Have you seen, Justin, have you seen that Modern Family? Do you watch Modern Family?
Yeah, I do.
Did you see their next door neighbor? He's a, I think he sells marijuana, doesn't he?
Yeah. And not quite, not like that.
Okay. Not quite like him. Yeah. So tell us about your year then. What are the highlights of this year? And then I want you also to tell us what have been the low points this year.
Of course. You know, the high points, we got an award from the Inlander, which for people who are outside of Spokane is like our local free newspaper to people in the area. It has quite a few readers, and we got an award as best of, and which was a new category for the best recreational marijuana retailer. What scared me is like I didn't even know it was even a category, and they called me up one day and just said you won. I'm like, what did I win? And I advertised with them, so I'm like, did I win like best advertisement? Like that means nothing. I'm paying you for that, you know.
You wanted a new car.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, what did I win? And they said, no, you got first. I said, first advertisement. You know, what are you gonna do? Give me 5% off? And she goes, no, you got first best of marijuana retailer. I said, oh wow. And awesome. I shocked. Because, you know, I know when I looked at businesses in the past, I saw that award and I thought, oh, that must be a good place because it's done by the readers, not by the business itself that would vote that. So that was pretty happy. That was definitely my highest point. I have an awesome team at our locations, great people that have come in and supported us. And, you know, people have just really talked us up. I mean, the amount of talking that people have talked about us and positively has really impacted, I think, me more than I would have expected. I was expecting more, you know, protesting and more anger. But it really did shock me how little of that there was.
Very smooth. Justin, what age is the majority of your clientele? I think that would be a real interesting facet.
Yeah, no, actually, when we first opened up, prices were still pretty high. I mean, we are taxed quite a bit. The prices with how the producers and processors who grow it and then sell it to us, the taxes and the prices were quite high. So, you know, we were the cheapest in the area, but the cheapest for us was $21 a gram. And it's quite a bit higher than street prices. So that's dropped significantly. Our cheapest one now is $10 a gram. And that's, you know, that's not, you know, top shelf, but it's still not, you know, it's still not bad stuff. So we are very picky about who we buy from. We have, because of that, we saw originally, you know, people with more money. So people who are retired or who have a steady set income, usually 40 or 50 or above. Now, yesterday, a guy came in, it was his 21st birthday, and he came in here. Mm-hmm. And he was really excited. I've had a lady come in. She was 92 years old. She's like, oh, I've been smoking for years. And she's the sweetest lady, actually. And, you know, I see a huge range. So I'd say the majority, though, I'd still say 30 and above. Because when you're younger, especially people who, you know, let's be honest, people I'm sure do smoke under the age of 21. You know, they're not going to be able to come into the stores. So they are still going to get it from the streets. And they're used to that. Where people who have families, who have established relationships, who have careers, don't want to take that risk. And, you know, they want that consistent quality and being able to have a set time. You don't have to go find someone. You don't have to go call someone. You don't have to worry about time frames. You just come on in and we're open, you know, 9 to 10 during the week. You can come in anytime and not have to call someone up and feel all sketchy. I'd say you're seeing a huge increase in the late 20s, early 30s. And I'd say I'd say about 25 to 30% of our people are within the 20s, and the rest of them are about 30 and above.
Now, Justin, you currently, because when we talked to you last year, bringing in the edibles was a questionable situation. Now you do have edibles.
Yeah, that was a big difference.
Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, it's interesting because when they first started, they were worried about because how the law is set up, they didn't incorporate the Department of Health to be registered with us as well. So the Department of Health kind of took it as, well, we're not getting any money from this, so we're not going to have any part of it. So since the Department of Health didn't get involved, we can't sell anything that needs to be heated or cooled. So they had to remove any, basically anything, eggs and stuff like that, that had a very short shelf life if it wasn't heated or frozen. So we have to have everything that has a true shelf life. The state really cracked down on that real fast and changed it pretty much overnight. And then these people who were making these edibles now had to change the whole recipe to work on that. So we saw a definite delay even when we opened, and we opened about 2 months after a lot of, but quite a few other stores opened. They had a hard time getting that hold of the edibles. And it, because of that change in recipe, you saw a huge difference between like what you'd normally find a cookie anywhere else, like even just a standard non-marijuana infused cookie compared to these. And they were really dry. They kind of rushed to get it on the market. Now you have things that are just taste just like a normal cookie, but they are now marijuana infused. And so you see a lot more people on the market with these products that are actually quite good.
So there are actual, you'd almost call them like a bake shop that shops. I mean, that's all they do is make the edibles.
Yeah, that's correct. And there's one that we deal with. It's a bigger one. They're in Seattle. They're called Botanica Seattle. And they make some great products and really quality. We test out, again, as I said, everything before we buy it and sell it because we want to feel comfortable in selling the product. And we've carried their stuff, and we've had nothing but great feedback about it. They have brownies, they have cookies, they have dark chocolates, they have flavored chocolates like orange chocolate, blackberry chocolate. You know, and the state is pretty strict on what can be considered appealing to children. So here, unlike Colorado, we don't sell suckers, we don't sell candies, just because the state's, you know, real strict about not having it appealing to children. Because that was kind of a thing that happened in Colorado when they first opened their stores. Was that children were getting a hold of these edibles, and you know, obviously no one died, but and you know, it was not good for the children. You don't want kids to get a hold of that, especially when they're still developing. That was kind of a big scare that Washington immediately jumped on, and it happened right before we opened all our stores.
Okay, we're actually getting towards the end of our interview, Justin. So I have some very specific questions I want to mention before we lose you. One is, do you make money? And is it, you know, enough to survive on because of all the taxes that I know you're facing with the federal government and the state? And the second is, I want you to address the medical marijuana change in the state. But if you could first address this big one, everyone's going to want to know, are you making any money? Are you getting rich? And what's going on the taxes?
Well, I had to downsize my Ferraris from 3 to 2, so it's not doing too well now.
And your yacht? How about your yacht?
My yacht, I had to sell that to get by, but I'll survive. I'll get one new one next year. Am I making money? I am able to pay the bills. Thankfully, I've heard of some growers and producers and processors who have lost, who have gone out of business already because they were not. But we've been thankfully able to stay in business. I wouldn't say I'm rich or loaded, but I definitely have been doing well enough to stay open, and now we're opening the second store third store. So we're going to be open in Costco. So we're excited to do that. It's definitely not, brands make a new car, mansion kind of money, but you know, I'm able to pay the bills and have a family and not have to worry about it.
Now, Justin, where is your second store?
Well, we have the store in Spokane. It's on North Division, and then we also have the store in Spokane Valley. The next one we're going to be opening is in Pasco. We haven't locked in a location there, but we are working on that pretty diligently right now.
Okay, so how are you making money with, because what I've read and heard is that the state is taxing you really high, the sin tax basically, and then the federal government isn't allowing you to write off, like a normal business would, your expenses.
Yeah, it's you having to make up with that with costs, and that's why the costs are still higher than street is because we have to take that into account, that we have to pay these federal taxes that we're getting taxed on as well. We're working, you know, my CPA talks with the IRS pretty regularly about how we can write things off and what we can't write off. So it's a tough one, and that's why it's like I'm getting by. I'm making enough money to, I'm not buying anything fancy. And not that I'm that type of person, but I'm not doing that. At the same time, I don't spend my money. I shouldn't say all the money, because it makes it sound a lot, but any money that I've made so far, I haven't spent, because, you know, I want to make sure I know what the taxes are going to be before I go forward.
Mm-hmm. You're a smart businessman and you've opened up these new ones, so you're obviously reinvesting. The last question I need to ask you before we let you go is about the medical marijuana change, and you know much more about it than I do, but I think it's important to bring this up.
Yeah, the state just passed with 50-52 here in Washington State, the change of the medical marijuana rules. A lot of things have people have been hearing information around that incorrectly, saying that recreational has been forcing money into it, wanting this change, when, to be honest, I mean, I don't even know anybody that's putting any money into it personally, but, and maybe in Seattle. But it's really the changes to help the customers. It, right now on the medical side, product isn't lab tested. We're here on the recreational side, it is. This law then changes that it closes down the already illegal dispensaries here in Washington State, which under Washington State law were illegal, unlike Colorado. And it has them come to the recreational shop. They do not pay the excise tax. They just pay the 8.7% sales tax. They still get all the same benefits as they did before. The only people it doesn't benefit are the dispensary owners, who classify themselves as nonprofits and would take in large amounts of money and not pay taxes on them. So obviously these guys who own these dispensaries are now freaking out, because their millions of dollars that they're making tax free are now, where's that money going? And then they're turning around and putting that money that they're making right now and turn it back into propaganda, saying, oh, look at how it's going to hurt the patient, which, in anything, to be completely honest, even if I wasn't in the industry, I would be for this, because it really does help the patients more than anything. There are definitely changes, but it definitely helps the patients.
So, Justin, medical marijuana was not stringently tested?
Correct. Yeah, that's the biggest misconception out there, is that people thought, oh, it's all super high end. And don't get me wrong, there is some high quality stuff on the medical side, but none of it had to be tested. There's no law by that. You could get something that you could get that's worse than the stuff you got from a dealer down the street. You don't know. And we're on the recreational side. It's required that everything's lab tested before it's sold. Tested for THC consistency, mold, mites, fecal matter. I mean, the really bad stuff that you can get in any marijuana. And it tests for that, because if it finds that, you can't sell it. And again, on the medical side, there's no tests for that. It's a choice, and I guarantee you most of them do not. And I've talked with several dispensary owners who do not do it at all.
Okay. So this has passed now, you said. So
it's done. That. Yep.
Okay. All right, Justin, anything else you want to say before we let you go about this year? Anything, any shout out, something you want changed, something that, you know, just that kind of a last thought for people around the country who maybe in states where this isn't legal and they're looking to Washington and Colorado and saying, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, depends on how it goes there.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said to the city council when I talked to them here before, when they were trying to ban it, you know, politicians speak money. That's realistically what they come down to. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So speak to them about the financial benefits. That's what they'll hear. They don't want to hear about how it's a medicine. They've heard that story a million times. Truthfully, they don't care. They care more about what the money's going to be and how it's going to look for their reelection. So you talk about how much money it can bring in to the state, how much money it can bring into the counties, the cities, and what they can use that money for. I guarantee you'll have people perking their ears up to that. And that's with what Washington, with this, and now Colorado, you know, who has also legalized it, the amount of money, what Colorado actually gave money back because they brought in so much money. And you see states like California, who, you know, are having hard times with their budget. This is just one great way that they can, I mean, one fraction of a way that they can help contribute to a better budget.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that it's going well here. I don't see any changes. I look at my window, it's the same town I always lived in. So the world has not blown off of its axis. So they can find you, Justin, at Cinder. You have three locations now.
Well, two now, but three coming soon.
One coming in Pasco. So, I mean, we'll check back with you maybe next year. I don't know. You're going to be king of the world. Then you will have your Rolls Royces and yachts and private jet.
Every year we're going to grab you.
The sky's the limit for you, Justin.
I'll have to show my jet then.
There you go.
All right, Justin. Well, you have a nice day. And thanks for joining us again. Good luck with all these shops.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Congrats. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for joining us today on Talk About with Rez and Andy. Live every Monday at 3 p.m. Please join us next week for another great show. And please call in and share your thoughts and opinions. Also, look for us and like us on Facebook and Twitter. And follow our show page on BTR.